Well, again, welcome to worship today at First Presbyterian Church of Berkeley. We are glad that each and every one of you is joining us today for worship. This is University Sunday, as Austin said earlier, and I want to take the opportunity to congratulate each graduating senior. Your church celebrates with you. Whether you attend Cal or some other school, we are really proud of you and celebrate with you this important milestone in your life. Today we are continuing this series of messages that we've entitled Everyday Spirituality. It's about spiritual practices that we can incorporate into our daily lives, which help us to kind of open our lives up to the grace and love of God. Today actually is our last message in this series, and we will be taking a look at the spiritual practice of blessing others. Before we do that, let's pray together. Will you please join me in prayer? God, I thank you again for this opportunity to gather in worship as your church. We pray that as we hear your word this morning, that you would speak to us both from your written word and from the meditations of my heart. God, just speak to us a clear word that we can put right into practice into our daily lives so that we may take the blessing that you give us and bless others. We pray all these things with strong confidence in strong name of Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. Amen. I was down at Fuller Seminary in Pasadena, taking the last course of my Doctor of Ministry program. This was an intensive course. It was a two-week course, 8 hours a day for each day. My other classmates were about 15 to 20 other pastors from really all over the world. As you can imagine, there was quite a bit of discussion in this class. I mean, what professor can possibly hold a class in lecture for 8 hours a day? So lots of discussion as we shared our experience of leading a church, the challenges that we faced, and the lessons that we were learning from being leaders. Once the defenses started breaking down a bit and trust was established, I was struck by how many of these pastors were discouraged, feeling pretty beat up, many close to burnout. On the last day of class, our professor did something that I had never experienced before. He took time at the end of the class to bless each and every one of us. He had taken the time prior to this to consider every single one of us and had written a blessing for every student. This professor was very intuitive, knew the rigors of ministry very well, and had a heart for pastors. And as he went from student to student, I was struck by the insights he had into each person, their fears, their insecurities, their hopes, their strengths and gifts. When it came time to bless each person, we gathered around them and laid hands on them as the professor conveyed the blessing. Of course, each blessing was unique to that person, but every one of them, at the heart of each blessing was this: unconditional love and acceptance, an affirmation of gifts and strengths, a picture of a special and hope-filled future, and a request for the goodness of God, the love of God, to be present in that person's life. I remember it being a profoundly moving experience. And many of these discouraged pastors wept as the blessing was given. In fact, one pastor that I got to know emailed me later and said that was the first time in his entire life that he had experienced the love of God. Since that experience, I have tried to incorporate giving blessing to others in my life in my ministry. At our weekly staff meetings, we celebrate birthdays by calling the person who has a birthday coming up to the front of the room, and then the rest of the staff affirm that person's gifts and strengths. We share with them special qualities that we see in them and recall memories of special experiences with them. Then we pray a blessing over them for the year ahead, and of course, sing happy birthday. I have to tell you, I've seen a lot of teary eyes and big smiles during these celebrations. We all yearn for blessing, to hear a blessing over our lives. Each one of us is encouraged when we know someone has taken the time to pay attention to who we are, to acknowledge our gifts and affirm what make us uniquely us. Something deep in each human heart. Something deep in each human heart is a desire to know that we are unconditionally loved and accepted. And we all want to know, don't we, that God is with us and has plans for our future. This is the good news for us today in this last message on spiritual practices. Giving blessings to others can be a spiritual practice that we incorporate into our lives. We can give blessings to others. Each one of us can bless others every day. You don't have to be a professor or a pastor to exercise this spiritual practice. In fact, I believe we are all called and capable of giving blessings to others, to our kids, to our grandkids, our friends, our spouses, nieces and nephews, people at work, people in our community group, students, maybe kids in our Sunday school class. People need to be blessed. And this idea of giving blessing is seen really throughout the Bible in both the Old and the New Testament. In fact, it is clear in scriptures that we are blessed by God to be a blessing to others, to bless others. And one example of that we see of blessing others is the tradition in the Old Testament of a father blessing his eldest son. This was a momentous event in the last year of a father's life when he would pass on to his son material inheritance as well as authority and honor. We see this in giving of the blessing in our text for today from the book of Genesis. It is the story of Jacob, or at least part of the story, of Jacob and Esau. Now this story highlights or features a fairly dysfunctional family. So the blessing is not executed perfectly, but we can learn from it some of the characteristics of a blessing. Let me give you a little background leading up to our passage for today. Jacob and Esau are born twins, but they're very different people. Esau was the older of the twins. He was red and very hairy, almost as though he had a permanent fur coat. His parents, Isaac and Rebecca, named Esau the shaggy one in light of the fur that he had throughout his body. Jacob was the younger of the two, and in fact, he got his name because he was grasping on to the heel of his older brother as they came out of the womb. So his name, Jacob, meant heel grasper. I think that's kind of a tough break, being named heel grasper. Of course, Shaggy One isn't a great name either. Both names are unfortunate, don't you think? Now, as they grew older, Esau became kind of the outdoorsman, the skilled hunter, and he was favored by his father. On the other hand, Jacob was kind of a homebody, sort of peaceful and quiet. And Rebekah, the mom, favored Jacob. Isaac, at this point of our story, has grown very old and is pretty much blind, and the time has come to pass on the blessing. Isaac, the father, told Esau to go out hunting for venison so he could make a meat stew to celebrate the passing on of the blessing. Like I said, this family is fairly dysfunctional, and Jacob and his mom hatch a plan to steal the blessing from Esau through trickery. As Esau is out hunting, Jacob puts on his brother's clothes and his mom attaches goatskin on his hands and bare part of his neck. So if Isaac touched him, he would think he was Esau. His mom cooks some stew just the way Isaac likes it. And this is where we pick up our scripture for today. This is from Genesis chapter 27, beginning at verse 25. Then he, Isaac, said, "My son, bring me some of your game to eat so that I may give you my blessing." Jacob brought it to him and he ate, and he brought some wine and he drank. Then his father Isaac said to him, "Come here, my son, and kiss me." So he went to him and kissed him. When Isaac caught the smell of his clothes, he blessed him and said, and here is the blessing. "Ah, the smell of my son is like the smell of a field that the Lord has blessed. May God give you heaven's dews and earth's richness, an abundance of grain and new wine. May nations serve you and peoples bow down to you. Be Lord over your brothers, and may the sons of your mother bow down to you. May those who curse be cursed, and those who bless you be blessed." After Isaac finished blessing him, and Jacob had scarcely left his father's presence, his brother Esau came in from hunting. He too prepared some tasty food and brought it to his father. Then he said to him, "My father, please sit up and eat some of my game so that you may give me your blessing." His father Isaac asked him, "Who are you?" "I am your son," he answered, "your firstborn, Esau." Isaac trembled violently and said, "Who was it then that hunted game and brought it to me? I ate it just before you came, and I blessed him, and indeed he will be blessed." When Esau heard his father's words, he burst out with a loud and bitter cry and said to his father, "Bless me, me too, my father." What can we learn about blessing others from this story? Well, let me lift up what I see as a few characteristics of a blessing. But before I do that, let me say that every time you bless someone, all three of these characteristics are not required. Sometimes blessings can be very simple. For example, sometimes I will bless homeless people when I see them on the sidewalks on Telegraph Avenue. In these cases, I simply pray silently and ask God to bless them in a special day, special way that day. But let's look at some of the characteristics of a blessing. First characteristic is meaningful touch. Did you notice in the story there's lots of touching and kissing? "Come near now and kiss me, my son." Blessings in the Bible often involve touch, a laying on of hands. The act of touching is key to communicating warmth and personal acceptance and affirmation. Kids need a ton of physical touch, but so do adults. We all need it. We all know the studies of how important touch is to infants, that they can literally die if they are deprived of being held and cuddled. But adults need it as well. Studies tell us that older people live longer when they have a constant diet of being touched, physical affirmation. This is one of the things that's so tough about the crisis we're in right now. It is preventing us from affirming others with physical touch. let's face it, air hugs just don't really convey a lot of warmth and acceptance. In the Gospels, we see how important touch was to Jesus. People would bring their children to Jesus. He would take them up in his arms and hold them and put his hand on their head and bless them. This is why when we ordain elders and deacons, we always lay hands on them as we bless them. So the first characteristic of a blessing is meaningful touch. The second characteristic is words of affirmation. Isaac blesses his son by speaking words of affirmation. Ah, the smell of my son is like the smell of a field. Now, you got to know, that's a great compliment in that time. It spoke of a harvest. It was a very positive message. We all know that words are very powerful in shaping lives. We all have memories of words that have wounded us deeply. People spend thousands of dollars and years in therapy to heal from destructive words spoken to them. On the other hand, we can thrive when we remember words of affirmation or approval. A key to blessing others is paying attention to what makes them unique, to discern what gifts and abilities are apparent to us, but maybe not to them. I pray that as a church, part of our culture will be affirming others and calling out their gifts. Being liberal with words of affirmation is an important part of the blessing. When my son, Drew, graduated from high school, I did a couple things. One is I asked people who were very important in his life to write him a letter, just a short letter, affirming what they saw in him and giving him a picture of a future that they could see for him. Then I gathered some of these people together and we spent some time affirming him. We gathered around him in a circle and some chairs and smoked cigars and shared stories about him growing up and spoke words of affirmation to him. I know that was a powerful experience for him, and I did the same for Allie. Words of affirmation are always a part of the blessing. The third characteristic I see is picturing a special future. One of the greatest gifts we can give to another person is the gift of helping them see a special future for themselves. Maybe one that we can see based on their gifts and abilities that they are unable to see. Such an important part, I believe, of Christian discipleship is to discover the unique person God has created us to be and then to serve according to these gifts and passion. Sometimes we need help in seeing those gifts in ourselves. As parents and grandparents, mentors, teachers, and friends, we can help others see in themselves what they may not be able to see. Picturing a special future for a person can change a life and set it on an entirely different course. Barack Obama's life was changed by a professor he had when attending Occidental College. The professor saw in Obama something special and helped him see possibilities for his life that he didn't see. At that point in his life, Obama was kind of lost, didn't have a lot of direction, and didn't really believe he had much to give. And the professor called him into her office and affirmed the gifts that she saw in him, told him that he needed to quit messing around and use those amazing gifts that he had to better the world. The president later said that this encounter changed the direction of his life. Brothers and sisters, we have this great gift from God, this power, really, to change lives, to be a conduit of God's blessing, to take that blessing that God has given us and pass it on to others. how about this week we incorporate the spiritual practice of blessing others? Maybe it's just a silent blessing to a person you don't even know, someone sitting across from you on BART. Maybe it's someone that you are mentoring at work. Perhaps in your community group, when it's someone's birthday, your community group or your family, you gather around that person, lay hands on them, and bless them. Maybe a spoken word of blessing over a child or grandchild, a niece or a nephew. Maybe an email to a friend or to a graduate. God has given us the ability to bless others. Let's take that gift and use it in our everyday lives. Amen.